Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 6, Episode 14 of this daily study podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today as we can take a pause from our Come Follow Me study for the week as usual on a Monday and we study something else that I've been studying, whether it's a Liahona article or a general conference talk or something different from the Come Follow Me study within the scriptures, whatever that may be. If you remember last Monday, if you joined us then, we started looking at Doctrine and Covenants section 109, based off the invitation given by President Russell M. Nelson, our dear prophet, to be able to study that, specifically with the covenants of the temple and the blessings of the temple in mind. And straight away, going around a point where we left off last week in verse 22, it says, "And we ask thee, Holy Father, that thy servants may go forth from this house, armed with thy power, and that thy name may be upon them, and thy glory be round about them, and thine angels have charge over them." I like this because it talks about how the name of the Lord will be on his servants that leave that house. And if you remember, we spoke last week about how baptism evidences we are willing to take upon ourselves the name of the Saviour, whereas the temple is the place where we more fully take upon ourselves that name. Sister Bonnie L. Oscarson said, we need to study and understand temple covenants and ordinances. The temple holds a place at the very centre of our most sacred beliefs, and the Lord asks that we attend, ponder, study and find personal meaning and application individually. We will come to understand that through the ordinances of the temple, the power of godliness is manifest in our lives, and that because of temple ordinances, we can be armed with God's power, and his name will be upon us, his glory round about us, and his angels have charge over us. I wonder if we are fully drawing upon the power of these promises." Close quote. I'm certain that all of us, when we think about our lives and think about the way we have the temple, the focus that we have on the temple in our lives, the way in which we live our lives and things that we do, choices that we make, I'm sure all of us can think of something which we could be doing to further improve and further amplify the power of the temple ordinances and covenants that we have made in our lives, in whatever way that might be. And I hope that if you're thinking of those things right now, that you make that commitment to make that change, whatever small the change that might be, to help you draw upon the power of the temple more fully in your life, just as I am in my life. I love in verse 23, and it says, "And from this place they may bear exceedingly great and glorious tidings in truth unto the ends of the earth, that they may know that this is thy work, and that thou hast put forth thy hand to fulfil that which thou hast spoken by the mouths of the prophets concerning the last days." This is just a lovely verse, because we just read recently about Abinadi and how the priest of King Noah talked about how glorious are upon the mounts are those that publish tidings of great joy, tidings of salvation. And this is just an example here of how the temple is in part a fulfillment of those words in Isaiah, which just give that clear message that great and glorious tidings do come forth from the temple. Tidings of redemption, salvation, and opportunity to be with our loved ones in the hereafter, which is a wonderful blessing for us. And then in verse 25, we read about how no weapon formed against them shall prosper, that he who diggeth a pit for them shall fall into the same himself. There is great blessing of a great blessing of protection that comes from the temple. It does not mean that, you know, we will not ever come across hardship or difficulty, or that every person who conspires against us will be a challenge for us. Or rather not be a challenge for us, because as we saw in the lives of the saints, there was great persecution. We see that evident throughout the church history. And there are some quotes and teachings that say it's because the saints were not being faithful. But also there is this sense that persecution and challenge will rise to those who are trying to live the life that the Saviour desires for them. And I think that for us as members of the church today, whilst we may not, and I say may not because in some places I know that there are some individuals who suffer persecution and hardship and difficulty because of their faith, but a number of us may not have that experience. However, it is still something which we find a great comfort and blessing to know. And in fact, as we continue through this section, we see a specific pleading to the Lord to have help the saints have this yoke of bondage or challenge broken off their necks in a very powerful metaphor in verses 32 and 33. Therefore, we plead before thee for a full and complete deliverance from under this yoke. Break it off, O Lord, break it off from the necks of thy servants by thy power, that we may rise up in the midst of this generation and do thy work. I think that's a powerful message, but what's interesting is that when you look at the footnote for yoke, we read spiritual bondage. So, of course, you know, our first thought, we're thinking about the time that this was written in the history of the church. There is that persecution that's happening with the saints and growing in Kirtland, Ohio. But also, this is actually referring to spiritual bondage and how we can see this going forward in verse 34. O Jehovah, have mercy upon this people, and as all men sin, forgive the transgressions of thy people, and let them be blotted out forever. So this is not just a message of redemption or salvation or deliverance from their physical persecutions, but also spiritually there is a recognition of the spiritual bondage that the saints are under, which of course the temple is the place to be able to go to have all power from on high and be endowed with that power to move forward and to overcome that spiritual bondage. In verses 36 and 37, we read about the day of Pentecost. It says, let it be fulfilled upon them as upon those on the day of Pentecost. Let the gift of tongues be poured down upon thy people, even cloven tongues as of fire, and the interpretation thereof. And let thy house be filled as with a rushing mighty wind with thy glory. We know that when the Kirtland Temple was dedicated, that indeed that many things of this nature did take place. I'm going to finish with this verse today, in verse 38. Put upon thy servants the testimony of the covenants, that when they go out and proclaim thy word, they may seal up the law and prepare the hearts of thy saints for all those judgments thou art about to send in thy wrath upon the inhabitants of the earth because of their transgression, that thy people may not faint in the day of trouble. the temple again brings a great strength and power to those that go through the doors and receive the endowments that are available there and are able to go forward and keep those covenants that they make in the temple and see the great power and blessing in their lives. The temple truly is probably one of the most untapped resources in our lives that we have. And I say that because even if a person is going to the temple, living those covenants and reflecting on those covenants every day and seeking to become the person that they learn about in the temple, there is probably still even more that they can receive because the potential blessings of the temple is immense. And so this is just a wonderful study to be able to read about and to learn about, because it is focusing our aspect on the temple and just the sheer promises that are given in Doctrine and Covenants section 109. And you know what? We're barely even halfway through. So it's going to be even more to come. Thank you so much for studying with us today, and until we meet again.